Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Tye.
Thought for sure you'd have Bucks gear on, but you do have your Bucks Yeti today, celebrating the start of the NBA season.
This is not the Bucks Yeti,
Greg. Oh, it's
not?
You rotated it. It's a
this
different...
Is
oh,
very,
I thought it was.
This is very not like me. I've not been feeling 100%, so I just wanted to feel warm and cozy during the show. So I put on this thing that kind of looks like a robe.
Okay.
So yes, so I am not, it's not a robe, everybody. If you're streaming, you can see it's not a robe. Yes, normally I would be in some Bucks gear, but you know me, it's in my heart.
Yeah.
I don't need to be wearing it.
Well, the game is on tonight. The season begins tonight for the Bucks. One of many stories that we're following here this afternoon.
It's now at noon on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Should President Trump get millions of dollars in taxpayer money? That is the question being asked this afternoon. President Trump says he could be seeking $230 million from the Justice Department as compensation for previous investigations into him. He also said he would give the money to charity, but should he even get it? House Speaker Mike Johnson was asked that question today.
I don't know the details about that. I've just read it. I didn't talk with him about that. I know that he believes he's owed that reimbursement. What I heard yesterday was if he receives it, he was going to consider giving it to charity. I mean, he doesn't need those proceeds, but we're for the rule of law. We're for what is just and right. And it's just absurd that, I mean, as has been noted here several times this morning, they attack him for everything he does.
The president filed two claims against the DOJ when he left office, claiming his privacy rights were violated. He faced special counsel investigations over his campaign's contacts with Russia and his removal of classified documents from the White House to his home in Mar-a-Lago. The payout may ultimately be approved by a Justice Department official who was once Trump's personal lawyer. Democrats are calling the president's demand illegal.
Well, happening right now, the Wisconsin Senate Public Safety Committee is holding a public hearing regarding Senate Bill 317, legislation that, if approved, would require Wisconsin public schools to have cardiac emergency response plans in place during school-sponsored events, including the school day. This also includes athletic competitions. This would begin next year. The bill was first introduced in June by Wisconsin Senators Jesse James and Van Vanguard. The bill includes a grant program to help schools with implementation costs such as CPR training, AED installation, and certifications for coaches, teachers, and trainers. Some schools already have things like this in place, but the bill is aiming to standardize it and also bring it across statewide here to Wisconsin public schools.
Well, those AEDs, man, they can save lives. The wait is finally over. Bucks basketball is back. The regular season begins for Milwaukee Bucks at 7 o'clock tonight. The team takes on the Washington Wizards right here at home. Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo is putting all the offseason chatter aside. It's time to win.
The moment that I step on this court or in this facility, I wear this jersey, the rest does not matter.
The team looks different this year. Chris Middleton is gone, but you will see him tonight as he's now with the Wizards. No Dame, no Brooke Lopez, no Pat Connaughton either. New faces on the Bucks include Miles Turner and Cole Anthony.
I saw the championship pedigree and I was like, yeah, this is what I want to be a part of. This is what the NBA is about.
Bucks president Peter Fagan tells us he'll have a special video for Middleton's return to Milwaukee tonight. I think you can expect a standing ovation. I mean, this guy was part of a winning championship for the Bucks. It was hard to see him go, but it's a business. We get it. It's going to be emotional. Definitely an emotional start to the night.
Yeah, he also had a 50-point game as part of that championship run. I mean, he was like the closer down the stretch. Giannis even admitted to it. Chris was hot. He closed out games. Give him the ball, and he sunk some major, major hoops during that championship run.
Such a big part of our team
great
for so
career.
Long.
Second-round pick. Former second-round pick. Kind of a throw-in in a trade that sent Brandon Jennings to the Pistons way back when. Middleton was the other guy. Brandon Knight was the star of that. And Middleton became the star and a champion in Milwaukee. Remarkable career as a Buck, and it continues with the Wizards. Coverage tonight gets underway at 6:30. We go up to Green Bay in a couple of minutes. Jason Wilde as the Packers practice week continues. Any more tarmac walkthroughs? Are they still working with two kickers? And why is Matt LaFleur not interested in the Aaron Rodgers storyline for this weekend?
That is for you guys to talk about.
Okay, Wilde joins us next. Now at noon, sponsored by Flanners Home Entertainment. It is sound advice at the best price. Visit Flanners Home Entertainment and Flanners.com. Just press play. All right, so the Packers recently set out their schedule. Matt LaFleur is going to speak in about 4 minutes here, so we're going to give Jason Wilde some time to hear from the coach before we hear from him. Makes a lot of sense. Wilde's going to join us now coming up at 2:15. Packers every once in a while move around their times where the coaches will speak, and it happens to fall right at the time we talk to Wilde.
Hey, you know what? This will be great because we'll get fresh sound. We'll find out Matt LaFleur, the freshest info from him.
Yes.
When Jason Wilde joins us now at 2:15.
So earlier in this ramp up to the Bucs start of the season, we talked to Bucs president Peter Fagan, and there's a lot going on this time of year, right? The team is cranking away to try and make sure Pfizer form is ready to rock, that everybody's got their things in place from a season ticket holder perspective, all the new food options and all that kind of stuff. But it's also a time to recall what happened throughout the course of the summer. And it was a lot of stuff and noise around Giannis. You know, he's still making a decision. Does he want to come back to this team? Dame is gone. What do you do here? They've not won in the postseason in a few years. Giannis is getting kind of antsy. Peter, I thought, had some really interesting comments and remarks to that because they watch. They pay attention.
Oh, yeah.
They also know Giannis. They know that Giannis isn't really feeding insiders a lot of stuff.
Peter is very close with Giannis.
He is.
I mean, I feel like he treats him like a son.
I thought Peter's comments, when I asked him very specifically how you digest all the stuff that happens, right? You're behind closed doors. You guys have the meetings. Giannis is in Greece, for goodness sake. He's kind of doing his own thing throughout the course of the summer. You hear these stories. The flames are fanned by one NBA insider in particular, which sort of fuels all the talk shows around the country.
This was the one summer that the gaslighting, the propaganda, disinformation, and like the big lie technique were in like high effect. You know, and it really, you know, you can't imagine how challenging it is because, you know, what I told you before on kind of the urgency and creating momentum and getting people excited about the season, you know, Giannis has gone to Greece every year since he came here. He is the topic of conversation for 29 teams, no matter what's happening. He is completely honest and he loves this place. Like this is where he wants to be. This is where he's grown up. This is where his family is, everything, you know, and he wants to balance that with what he's always said, like he wants to win. And I always am really relieved when he gets back from Greece, he's on the court. People actually see words coming out of his mouth that confirm directionally kind of where the Bucks are and kind of how excited he is and kind of awed by how good Miles Turner is and how athletic he is and kind of how much younger and faster we are year over year. So we're like in a good place.
Yeah, Bucks front office, I would imagine that's the collection of people who are most pleased to get this season underway and hopefully a winning season, because the same storylines that we dealt with through the offseason this year will resurrect themselves if the Bucks don't find playoff success.
And there is no doubt Giannis is just one of those high-caliber guys, not only on the court, but off the court as well. And you just heard it. And now at noon for us, I mean, he said, forget everything you've heard. When I'm on the court, in fact, let's hear from him.
The moment that I step on this court or in this facility, I wear this jersey, the rest does not matter.
Forget everything else. When he is on that court, he is there to win. You have heard that time and time again. And it doesn't matter the new faces, who we lost. He is there to win, and he wants another championship. And here we go, starting tonight. Regular season begins.
It does. So one championship in the books here for Giannis, but a lot of first-round exits here. And it's largely been due to injuries. Chris Middleton injury, Giannis injury, Damian Lillard injury. Well, now this team is much younger than it's been in a number of years. They're among the oldest teams in the league with Brooke Lopez and Dame and Chris Middleton well into their 30s. Bobby Portis in his 30s. Pat Connaughton there as well.
Are they a little faster, too, now?
Well, absolutely. Much more so. There's a very different dynamic to this year's team.
Our speed and depth are so much different. And you can just tell guys are like having fun. Like there's a real energy, you know, with like a younger competitive team. Like, you know, the pickup games and the drills have like a whole different intensity. There's great, you know, kind of excitement internally to like get this season started.
Yeah, there's some times you watched him, especially in the postseason against Indiana last year, and you thought, man, this team is kind of kind of slow. Like, they're just not keeping up very well with some of the younger, fast-paced teams in the league. So I do imagine somewhat of a shift here with this team and how it looks, how it gets up and down the floor. But you got to win. At the end of the day, you have to find playoff success. Otherwise, all the chatter and noise comes back.
I'm really excited to learn more about some of these new guys. I mean, it's just been a blast the last couple of weeks watching Miles Turner become one of us, right, to become a Wisconsinite. And it feels like he's loving it. Because these guys, they don't have to go. You don't have to go apple picking at Apple Holler. He did. He was loving it. He was posting videos and pictures. And I think that's just a blast. I like having guys like that on the team.
Absolutely. Reminds me of A.J. Dillon, the former Packers running back who became the unofficial mayor of Door County and got a key to the city and all that.
Right.
Like, he was just soaking in everything Wisconsin and sort of endeared himself to the fans here. And he had a nice few years in Green Bay, and now he's playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. But that's what comes to mind, this big bruising running back just soaking up everything Wisconsin, going to high school basketball games in Green Bay and, you know, leading the student section in cheers. Like, that was A.J. Dillon, and you're getting a bit of that here with Miles Turner, just trying to soak up everything he can here in Milwaukee. Some interesting comments from Peter Fagan. We'll bring back some of those and some stuff you haven't heard in the 1 o'clock hour, and a very interesting conversation between Giannis and Chris Middleton about the whole trade that went down in February of this year. Some interesting stuff here. Bucks related on the night their season begins at Fiserv Forum. It's 12:22.
Getting on Tinder, the dating app? Get ready to have your face scanned. ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
It's a first. Match Group, which owns Tinder, announcing the U.S. rollout of FaceCheck TM, a first-of-its-kind facial verification feature that helps confirm users are real and match their profile photos. FaceCheck is now required for all new users in 7 countries and the state of California and will roll out to additional U.S. states in the coming months. New members take a short video selfie within the app. If the system confirms the person is real and matches profile photos, it issues a badge signaling to others they're legit.
They're legit. Thank goodness.
Got to be careful of that.
I feel
now.
Like this is necessary.
Oh,
right?
Man. Yeah. Well, what is legit, right? I mean, everything should be a facial scan to make sure that's, is that a real person? Is that AI generated? What am I looking at right now?
Did you ever dive into that before you were married?
No, I was never a part of any sort of dating app.
And
not that I had like this crazy dating history. It was never about an app.
Oh, tell us more.
That's a long story for a different time. But no, and the apps weren't quite as popular as they are now. There were a few. There were definitely a few. Match.com, I think, was the biggest one at that time of my life. But I don't know. Never really of interest to me.
Yeah, I never did it either. However, I always kind of thought I would be a perfect candidate for it because back then I was working so many long hours when I was single. And your time was so consumed with work that I thought I would be a good candidate for something like that. But there was no way, especially like all those years on TV, there was no way I was going to do that. However, the younger generation of TV news anchors, they're on it. I know for sure they're on it. They're using it. And a lot of people find success with it. But I never dove into it either. But I'll tell you what, had I would have loved to have known that man is legit.
Yes, no, that's important to know, right? So Match.com, and I think there's another one locally called It's Just Lunch, which they set up lunch dates for working professionals. Now is the idea. It wasn't necessarily, it could have been a drink after work or something like that, but the idea was meet at any time on your schedule. You're a working professional. You don't have a lot of time for this. Let us make it easier for you.
I was kind of looking at the directions here, and it says, let's keep it real, and it's explaining now the profile requirements and what you need. And then it says, get ready for the scan. And that just reminded me, I had to do a little selfie scan. It's not really a video, it was taking a picture, but for the ballpark app. So you could go with the new way the Brewers were letting you go in. You don't have to show anything. You just look, and it looks at your face and lets you in. It's awesome. It worked wonders. I think I used it for 3 games at AmFam Field this season. It was awesome. But when I did take a look at it, it had me like looking down. It takes it at a weird time. So that video was not ideal. So get ready for the scan. I hope it's a good one of people smiling if it's a dating app.
Yeah, well, yes, make sure you smile. No spinach in your teeth. Well, activity in the nation's capital comes to a screeching halt when the Wizards begin the regular season, as they are tonight in Milwaukee, taking on the Bucks.
We're looking forward to it. Looking for a win.
We are. I don't know if the people in D.C. know that there is a team in the nation's capital.
Oh, ouch.
We know there's Scott McFarlane in the nation's capital, CBS congressional correspondent who joins us every Wednesday. Hey, Scott.
Good afternoon. Thanks for playing 112 and Cupid. Nice little song. The afternoon. Do you want the good news or the better news about the Washington Wizards?
We'll take the better news.
I want both.
Okay. I'm going to go with Jasper. The good news is Chris Middleton plays here.
Yes.
And you know, that doesn't hurt. The better news is if you, Gina, me, and Jess want to get together, we could be the other starting five, and they'd be fine with that in Washington. That'd be an upgrade over what we've been seeing over the last few years.
What position are you playing, Scott?
I'll be your center.
Okay, that's
center.
What I thought.
I think Greg runs point, right?
Greg's really tall, too, so I wasn't sure who was taking center.
I
feel like I
call.
Could be point guard. No?
Sure, yeah. How's your lateral speed?
This is a good place for the Bucks to get up and get started.
Yeah, get good right play. Game at the start of the season.
Right.
We'll check in. It could be a long season for the Wizards. Hey, that's okay. Before we dive into stuff you're working on here, Scott, we had a conversation with Linda Kenyon yesterday. It was just about some random stuff happening in D.C. I think it was about National Guard troops, but that's beside the point. The most interesting component of the conversation.
This was great.
Was this nugget? Gina, do you have it available here? Can you play it? It's the Tom Hanks coffee nugget. Stand by 1 second. So she had mentioned that I'd asked. I'm like, what are you doing out there? Do they cater these things you go to or anything? She said, no food, no water. Got to bring your own everything. There is a water fountain.
Then I asked if they had a stealthy Starbucks because we know we've talked to you about that one.
So the conversation turned to coffee. And she tried to keep it under wraps, saying, well, there is some Hollywood type, not going to mention his name, who sends us a coffee maker every so often.
So I think she's referring to the White House press corps, because Tom Hanks is known to help give White House press members a lift by getting them coffee. But he's gotten some publicity for that in the past, that he helps the White House press corps in the way that journalists appreciate most, which is with coffee.
Smart.
If he's inclined to send it here, it would save me $7 a day, and I'm all for that.
$7 a day, I know that is insane. Okay.
Well, we love that
information.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're going to have to bring that soundbite to you at a later point. But hey, we've got to talk about this. The government shutdown. Scott, we've been talking about it for weeks, but it is now the second longest government shutdown in U.S. history. Is there any behind-the-scenes movement that suggests a resolution is on the way or maybe further away than the public realizes?
No, there's no steps of progress. There's nothing to report positively. But this shutdown's even dumber than you think, though. We are still at an impasse here over how to fund the government for 7 weeks. They aren't trying to fund the government through all of 2026. They're trying to just get 7 weeks of money, and they can't figure out how to do that and get to an agreement. We are halfway through the 7 weeks. By the time they come up with this, the 7 weeks will have passed, and they're going to have to fight this battle all over again in a different way. The Republicans would argue that's why the Democrats are at fault, because they're just trying to do what they call a clean bill. No changes, just 7 more weeks of funding. Nothing changes. We can reopen the government and start negotiations on whatever you want. Democrats would argue that's exactly why we should be negotiating now, because we're just walking in quicksand here. And if we don't fix this health care problem, we're going to be in a real mess, even transcendent of a government shutdown. So pick your poison. It's an ink blot test of where you are politically. But the shutdown has gone beyond frustrating. It's gotten to the level of stupid.
Well, I'm happy to see members of our military are being paid. I don't like them being used as a political prop, however, Scott, if I'm being candid, that's a main political pressure point here in these discussions. So if they are getting paid, though several thousands of federal workers are not and programs are frozen, what's the next inflection point here?
Yeah, it's a mixed thing, isn't it, Greg? Where if you eliminate the pain points, to avoid crisis, you make sure the military gets paid, you make sure the federal law enforcement gets paid, you ensure that, the hospitals, the veterans' hospitals have everything they need. You eliminate the short-term crisis. You eliminate the unacceptable condition. But when you eliminate the short-term crisis and you eliminate the unacceptable conditions, you've made it easier to continue the standoff. So you have a prolonged shutdown that is a little less painful than it would otherwise be to some people, so you're going to have a longer standoff. But lost, the quiet voices that are lost in all this are the furloughed federal workers who go without pay, some of whom still have to work without pay, and there is no guarantee those paychecks are coming back, that they'll be made whole. They've always been made whole in the past, and the president signed a law during the previous shutdown, the record-long one in 2018, to ensure back pay, but there's no faith that that's going to hold. There's been a certain lawlessness to how Congress and president have been working together or not working together. I don't know that anybody feels comfortable that money's coming back.
I keep watching what's happening at the airport, Scott, because I'll tell you what, I was talking with a TSA agent. The person is not in the Milwaukee area, elsewhere, but and this TSA agent said, hopefully this one won't last much longer. Just my opinion, when the air traffic controllers start getting the, quote, flu and travel is impacted, it usually wraps up. The TSA agent told me legally none of us can strike or stage sick outs, but it happens. And this particular TSA agent was working for the TSA during the last government shutdown. So this particular person kind of knows it well what happens.
Yeah, there have been these moments in the past where you have these, what they call essential workers, Jess, those who can't be furloughed and sent home, that you have to have. If they go without pay in that interim period, some of them just don't come into work. I don't think it's necessarily out of principle, but out of practicality. They have to make money to pay the rent. So they may go substitute teach, find a side hustle, do something else to ensure that, you know, the kids are fed. That's been an issue in the past. If the administration moves money around to ensure TSA, air traffic controllers, other essential workers still get their paychecks during this impasse, you won't see that. But I think we are already starting to see some disruption to air travel. That, I think, to answer Greg's previous question, is the next pain point that could leverage people to start talking.
CBS congressional correspondent Scott McFarland joining us from Washington. So, interesting nugget here, Scott. Why is President Trump seeking $230 million from his own Justice Department?
Why is a great question that we're not going to be able to answer. And if anybody says they know the answer, they're exaggerating or they're overstating their knowledge. We know that he has filed claims seeking some type of damages for the criminal investigations, the Department of Justice investigations into him before he became president again. And these are pretty well-known investigations, one into his effort to overturn the 2020 election, including the results in Wisconsin, and the allegations that he mishandled and improperly kept classified records at Mar-a-Lago. He has said, when questioned about this, that it is odd. He's acknowledged it's odd that he's kind of seeking money from himself. He's seeking money from his own government. He would have to approve it, but that hasn't stopped the effort. And CBS News confirmed this afternoon that it is a $230 million figure that is being considered. There's been no recent movement on this matter. It's just that the reporting has come out. But I think the conflict here is as clear as day, and you don't have to be an expert in ethics or law to see that the Department of Justice has to approve this money. They'd be the ones to decide. They work for him.
Right.
And it's not just that they're technically employees of his. These are some of his closest allies. The top DOJ officials are literally his defense attorneys from these cases. The top three officials that are relevant here were all one-time lawyers of Trump. As recently as January, there's all kinds of conflict here.
Yeah, the president's saying he would give the money to charity, but the big question is, should he even get it? I'm kind of curious, if he were to get that $230 million, if he would put $22 million of that towards the big ballroom project at the White House. Scott, it is so strange to see the construction crews coming in and just taking down part of the White House.
Some people just don't like the look of this. And I think this is another one where your politics may define how you view this. But the look of a sledgehammered out, wrecking balled White House East Wing bothers some people. No matter if it's for the greater good, no matter who's paying the bills, this just kind of happened. And nobody was told in advance the size and scope of what was going to go on at the People's White House. I don't know that it's clear who's going to pay for the enormity of this project. It is clear this did not go through a traditional process for renovations and changes to landmarks in Washington, D.C. There are a couple really bureaucratic agencies that are obscure. The Commission of Fine Arts and the National Capital Planning Commission that must approve every change that is visible to a landmark facility in Washington, D.C. And you're talking about bureaucracy. They will tie this thing up for months or years, whatever the change may be, to ensure history and aesthetics are maintained. This is the White House. Arguably the most famous, most impactful, important landmark. It's just been sledgehammered open. And the National Capital Planning Commission and Commission for Fine Arts did not render decisions publicly that this can happen. And what's perhaps most noteworthy here is those two obscure agencies were commandeered by the president. He installed his own people and fired the old people when he came into office in January.
That's kind of a crazy scene, no doubt. You just I'm sure there's been work done in the White House inside before. It's an old building, but just to see it kind of wide open like it's like your neighbor's house renovation is just not something I'm prepared to see.
I don't know that it goes over well to everybody, but I don't know that it's objectionable to everybody. I think it's far more going to fall down traditional party lines on that one. I don't know about the $230 million. I've heard equivocating responses from Republicans to that. They have not defended it. In fact, the ones that we caught up to so far today just said they haven't heard much about it yet and want to look more into the matter. Kind of the old version of, I didn't read the tweet. I don't know what you're talking about. We'll see what they say once they've read in on this $230 million taxpayer payout to the president.
I think it would be different, too, for some people when it comes to this big ballroom project if they just built a new area from the ground up and they were just building a new ballroom. Maybe. That would just be a different visual. It's just so strange to see it like this. I will say, though, speaking of visuals.
I think that's what people envisioned. I think people expected that when they heard about it at first.
But we've seen so many videos of the president dancing. I feel like I can close my eyes and visualize President Trump dancing in his new ballroom.
Maybe he's next Dancing with the Stars is where they're going to host it,
Maybe
there's a bigger thing behind it, right?
Okay,
it's never small.
You could be onto something.
It's never small with the president.
I feel like he would like that.
I think he would, too.
The ratings would be the best ever.
I think he would enjoy that as well. Always good to catch up. We got a long list of stuff we didn't even get to with Scott McFarlane here. We'll save some of it for next week. Always great to check in, Scott. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott.
There's no way I'm rooting for the Dodgers. I'll just tell you that.
Okay. Aww. Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. That was a rough
Don't
four games.
Us.
We got through it. We are Blue Jays fans. I think many here in Wisconsin too. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, both.
You bet. 12:51 on WTMJ. He told me yesterday about this story out of Atlanta where a guy showed up and in his vehicle parked, you know, just feet away from where he was standing at the airport was an AR-15 rifle and 27 rounds of ammunition. Police detained the man, a 49-year-old Billy Joe Cagle, after a tip from his own family.
Yes.
Who saw him streaming on social media that he was going to go to the airport and start shooting it up.
I was just going to say, thank goodness for his family, right? Thank goodness
Incredible. His
family was paying attention, number one. And then realized, we've got to do something about this.
Well, federal prosecutors have now charged this Georgia man.
Based off of this complaint, it had been reported before that he was on some form of social media, and perhaps even a live stream, but it was a FaceTime call made to a member of Cagle's family that alerted that family member to then go to the local police department. The family member then called back. And he said that he was going to, quote, shoot at some cars.
Yeah, so a number of charges here. These just coming down moments ago. Federal charges include attempted violence at an international airport, interstate communications containing threats to injure the person multiple people, felon in possession of a firearm. He is a convicted felon. State charges include terroristic threats, criminal attempt to commit aggravated assault, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony. So all sorts of charges being brought against Billy Joe Cagle, 49-year-old man, detained, apprehended at the airport. The weapon was not on his person. It was in his vehicle, but police believed that he was doing a dry run and was going to go back to his vehicle and get what he brought and bring it into the airport.
Yeah, they thought he was checking things out. Atlanta police also said they're basically praising this family because they talked about the detailed information that they got from this particular family member down to the length of his sleeves. And they say that was absolutely crucial in helping prevent tragedy.